Hello again and welcome back. With all the concerns expressed about public education in our area, there is a very bright counterpoint. That's the school system managed by the St. Louis Archdiocese. It's the oldest and largest school system in the state, with more than two dozen elementary and high schools, well over 40,000 students. In overwhelming numbers, student test scores are well above the national average. Almost all graduate on time. Nearly 100% go on to college. Certainly something to celebrate, as Catholics across the country are, this week, observing Catholic Schools Week. Joining me to talk about Catholic education here is Dr. Kurt Nelson, since last July, the superintendent of Catholic education for the St. Louis Archdiocese. Dr. Nelson, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Don. Good afternoon.
You know, I'm really quite struck by the numbers that I just gave out or indicated here. How is the system managing to perform so well in times when public education is not?
I think one of the keys is the sense of it really is a community effort. So we have our schools are a partnership between parents and the educators, but it's also a partnership with the larger faith community around them, parishes and the archdiocese, who are all working together to help kids realize their full potential. And so I think that's a key piece of that.
Is the population of your system growing?
We've been shrinking slowly over
really?
The last couple of years. That decline is starting to slow, though, so we're starting to get a lot more stability, and we're seeing actually parts of the archdiocese that are growing in enrollment.
Why, I wonder, would that have been shrinking over past years?
Well, I think particularly the economic downturn of the last couple of years really has played an impact for us, where parents are paying tuition. That really has cut into that.
How does the tuition in your system compare with other private schools?
Well, you know, we have a variety of tuitions, really. For instance, our high school tuitions range anywhere from $3,200 at some of our parish high schools all the way up to $20,000 at some of our – so there's really a wide range, and it depends on a mixture of the other funding sources, the other sponsors that are helping operate the school.
Yeah. It's not inexpensive. It can certainly add up.
Correct. And our tuition really doesn't cover the full cost takes to educate a student. We're doing a lot of other fundraising efforts.
And there's some movement toward charter schools within the archdiocesan system. Is that correct?
Well, we currently have De La Salle Middle School, which has been a private Catholic school in the archdiocese. So not directly operated by the archdiocese, but is allowed to operate and teach the Catholic faith. They've decided that really to fulfill their mission of really providing quality education to students with the greatest need, that they want to be able to expand that mission and serve more students. And really the only way for them to do that is to become a charter school. So they could be doing that next year. And then they'll have some after-school optional faith programs for families who want to choose that.
And is this likely to grow, do you think?
It's something that we certainly will be looking at to see. For us, really the key reason our schools exist is not only to provide a strong education, but just provide strong faith formation.
There was a piece in the paper this morning indicating that charter school populations in the city, in the public system, is certainly growing.
Yes. Yeah. I think citywide, you're right. We've seen some growth in that.
Is the system here in St. Louis, or the Catholic schools throughout the state, are they subject at all to DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, statewide?
Well, there's a couple of things that we do. We are all of our schools are accredited. And so our accrediting association has a set of standards, many of which match very closely with DESE. And also we look at some of the things that DESE asks schools to do make sense. And so particularly in areas of like school safety, we're also following a lot of the recommendations to make sure that we continue to have very safe and nurturing schools. So while many of those are not necessarily binding on our schools, we do look to them to continue to improve our schools.
How about such things as No Child Left Behind, though, and the Common Core standards? Are you subject to any of that?
We are not. As religious institutions, we're able to look at those, and we do. We don't completely ignore those things. We certainly evaluate them and decide what makes sense for our schools. And sometimes that's on an archdiocesan level. Sometimes it's a school-by-school level. We're such a broad archdiocese in 11 counties. So there are many things that are local decisions, too.
Who is teaching in your schools? You know, I think most people of a certain age would look back to the Catholic schools. They were taught by nuns and would occasionally have their knuckles wrapped with a ruler. I think that's a pretty standard recollection to a lot of folks. Who's teaching?
We really are predominantly lay people. It's men and women who either are young and haven't started a family yet, or are parents themselves. That really is our teaching core now. And we're starting to attract a lot of young teachers who are just dynamos. I mean, they have fantastic ideas, and they're really implementing some really innovative things in our schools. So it's kind of been really exciting to see that.
How does the system here stack up with others in other parts of the country? I mean, I think the numbers are fairly compatible, are they not, with regard to success rates?
They are. They are. Yeah. And we actually, you mentioned we're the largest and oldest school system in the state. We're actually the eighth largest Catholic school system in the whole country.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, has been I think, a product of our legacy. But I think the fact that we continue to remain that really means we have some strong programs. So, you know, academically and faith formation, all those are really keys to that.
This is Catholic Schools Week.
Yes.
What is that all about?
National Catholic Schools Week is really a time for us to celebrate all the things that we have in common, which is our academic excellence and our faith formation. So the theme this year is communities of faith, knowledge, and service. So we're finding – all of our schools are finding different ways to celebrate that with kind of different days. So schools are celebrating the fact that they're a community. So schools are doing things with their parishes, with I'll be joining another school this year that later this week that's going to be doing some things to their local firemen and policemen, thanking them for the service they provide. We have schools that are doing service projects to those in need. And then they're also doing things like academic competitions and quiz bowls and lots of different fun activities for the whole families.
I had indicated at the outset that the population of the system was a little over 40,000, but I've seen some indicating it's much higher than that as well, 47, 48,000.
We're about 40,000 now.
About 40,000.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
We do have some parish schools of religion that have more students, but in our school programs there's 40,000.
Right. I want to give our audience an opportunity to get into this discussion with Dr. Kurt Nelson, if you'd like to. He is the superintendent of the Archdiocesan School System. Give us a call if you'd like to come on in at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send us a tweet, you may do so at STL On Air. And now back to our conversation with Dr. Nelson. We had a couple of tweets that came in prior to your coming on the air. One from Mark writes, who writes, "I came up in archdiocesan schools outside the city of Borgia. I'm wondering if and how the church can influence public schools. Is that possible?"
You know, we do operate in different but parallel worlds, if you will. I like to think that a lot of the things that that public schools and charter schools are doing are really imitating the successes we've had in Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. So I do think we've been really pioneers in a lot of different ways. And that's really been throughout our history. I mean, our archdiocese racially integrated schools 7 years before Brown and Board of Education. We started special education programs 7 years before the Special School District of St. Louis County started. So we really have been pioneers for a long time in a lot of different innovations.
Yeah, I was struck by that. I was just checking my notes with regard to 10 years before Brown versus the Board of Education, schools were integrated here. You're relatively new to this system here. How difficult a prospect was that? Do you know the history of that integration?
I do a little bit, yeah. Cardinal Ritter had done something similar in Indianapolis when he had been there before he came to St. Louis. So it certainly was not without controversy in its time, but I think certainly we know that I feel confident in reading some of the things that he's left behind. He knew he was doing the right thing, and so he was able to weather the storm, knowing that he was really doing God's will.
What sort of diversity numbers do you have these days?
We have quite a diversity. You know, and it varies from school to school. We have some schools that are very mixed, have a pretty even proportion. We have some schools that have a much higher minority population. But we have blacks and we have whites. We have Hispanics and Latinos. We have Asian students. Pretty diverse, not only racially but also economically is also another area where we really are quite varied.
In any sense, do you recruit? Recruit students?
Well, you know, recruiting students in K through 12 has kind of a bad name for it, if you will. So what we really do is we try to really promote what our schools can do and try to attract students to them for all the right reasons. So we don't, you know, in terms of my dad was a college football coach. So when you say recruitment, and you know, many people think it's recruiting for athletics. Mm-hmm. That's not at all what we do. We really try to promote and share with families the difference that our schools can make.
But you do reach out, certainly.
We do reach out, correct.
Make folks aware of what you've got going for you.
Exactly.
Let's go to the phones. We'll bring in Ron, who's been waiting patiently to talk to you, Dr. Nelson. He's in St. Louis. Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, I was going to say I attended Holy Rosary, a great school, and it was one of the best experiences I had as far as education. And also the thing that I would say is that the principles, the values, and the good decision-making skills that they taught us really helped all the kids in that area and all throughout the whole St. Louis area. And currently I'm working with a group of people that are raising monies for scholarships for kids to go to Cardinal Ritter. And I wish the St. Louis public schools would adopt more of the principles and values that they use in the Catholic schools.
Thanks, Ron. Ron really brings up a great point, and that is, you know, when we say, particularly as we're celebrating Catholic Schools Week, it really is not just a recognition of what our schools do for students or the church. It's really what they do for the community. You know, our schools serve such a community good in, you know, you can't go very far in St. Louis without meeting somebody who had a Catholic education who is now a community leader or a business leader or leading nonprofit charitable enterprises. So that upbringing that Ron talked about and that formation really is key to the common good of our whole city and our whole community.
Hmm. How much of a role does religion and religious curriculum play in the system?
It's really it's the center of everything we do. Mm-hmm. And so certainly students have a designated religion class where they're learning more about our faith. But it really is integrated in everything. So even in art class, students are free to talk about God and faith, and in science class and in literature. And so we're really able to integrate it throughout everything and not force students to kind of separate that part from themselves. They really get to live an integrated life.
Yet the numbers I have indicating that 12% of your student population is non-Catholic.
Yes, correct.
How does that work?
We do. We have quite a few students who are non-Catholic, and we welcome them with open arms. It really is about families who want that strong moral and ethical upbringing and the values. And many of our families really want their children to be in a faith environment, even if they're not Catholic. They are Christian, and they want their students to be in a faith environment where they're free to talk about Jesus and they're free to talk about God.
Let's go back to the phones and bring in Tom. He's calling us from Afton. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Kurt Nelson.
Thank you, Don. Dr. Nelson, I attended Catholic grade schools and high schools, and I'm very grateful for the education I received, especially high school during the liberation theology era. But I'm very concerned because most of my friends in their 40s and 50s do not send their children to Catholic schools, do not participate in the Catholic Church any longer, and feel very alienated. Some of them are gay, some of them are not, and don't send their children to Catholic schools. And I'm very concerned about whether this is a trend overall and how Catholic education responds to that. I think that when Cardinal Burke was around, that really hurt the more educated and people feeling like they wanted to be part of the church and Catholic education. And with the new Pope, maybe things are getting better. But what do you see from your perspective?
Well, I think you've mentioned, you know, Pope Francis, I think, certainly has really kind of created a, if you will, a new springtime in the church. And I think a big piece of that is Pope Francis talks like one of us. I mean, he's able to kind of cut through a lot of theological confusion and really simplify things. And people really respond to that, to simple truths. And so I think he's a real big part. I talked to a lot of people who maybe were away from the church for a while and are coming back or looking at coming back. And I think the other piece, too, is, you know, a big concern for us, too, has been the need to increase tuition. As it has. And I think certainly that creates a barrier to families being able to stay. Even if they went to Catholic schools, there's a financial reality. So we're doing all that we can to raise scholarship dollars and provide scholarship dollars. Right now, between the Archdiocese and the Today and Tomorrow Educational Foundation, we're providing about $11 million each year in scholarship funds. We need to increase that even more. So there's a new foundation that started, the Roman Catholic Foundation, that's going to be looking at continuing to raise scholarship dollars to help families.
There seems to be a certain tension within the church these days with regard to, if I can call a more progressive, a more liberal, apparently, Pope Francis, and the conservative wing, and Cardinal Burke is certainly representative of that. Does that have any impact at all on teaching and what you have to do in curriculum?
I don't think it really does. The core beliefs of our faith really have stayed very consistent. And you're right, there are times where different personalities, if you will, are expressing those. But really, the core beliefs behind those have remained steady and remained solid. So what we're teaching in the classrooms really, I think, is still the same solid Catholic faith.
With regard to the caller had a question. He referred to the policy on homosexuality, and one of our tweeters here writes, "All this talk about being pioneers regarding diversity, please address your policy on homosexual teachers."
Well, you know, our policy is quite simple. The Catholic Church believes in no sexual relations outside of marriage, and that applies to every person, no matter what their orientation is. So the church doesn't teach against people of homosexual orientation, but it very clearly says there are certain behaviors that should be engaged in or should not be engaged in, no matter what your orientation is.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly something that's getting a lot of discussion in the broader spectrum. Let's take another call. Kate joins us from St. Charles County. Kate, go ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Kurt Nelson.
Hi. My husband's Catholic. I'm not, but he wanted to send our son to Catholic school, and I agreed. But when my daughter was born, she has Down syndrome. We approached the school because I thought it would be a more nurturing, loving, accepting environment. And we were flatly rebuffed. We couldn't get a call back from the principal. And when we finally cornered her, they just basically said no. Given the church's pro-life stance, I found it very disconcerting and left a bitter taste in my mouth. I understand that different schools can offer different services, but I wasn't impressed. I haven't pulled my son out, but it hasn't left a warm, fuzzy feeling. I was wondering if you just comment about the church's take on special ed and your efforts in St. Louis to expand it.
Certainly. Certainly. We currently have about 4,500 students in our schools that have some identified special learning needs. So that's about 11% of our students. Many of them are educated in their local school with learning consultants and some special accommodations that we've built in. But we also have recognized that some students need a little bit more services. So our archdiocese actually has 5 special education schools where we provide a little bit more intensive service to those families. And so we have students who range anywhere from, attention deficit type disorder, processing disorders, all the way up to autism, and have schools across the archdiocese ready to serve.
That question from the caller really reflects an email we had from Lisa, who asks much the same thing. But she also asked, do you work at all in this area in conjunction with the special school district, for instance?
We do. When families come to our Catholic school system, they don't give up all of their rights to services that they're entitled to the special school district or wherever their place of residence is, whatever school district they are. So we still work with those school districts to help get assessment and identify things that need to be done or help provide some services. So, yes, we do continue to work with that.
Now, she also asks, is inclusion a priority or are students with learning disabilities steered towards special education exclusively?
No, our priority is inclusion as much as we can. And it really is finding the best match for that individual student's needs. So our first inclination is to fully include them in the school with accommodations. But if they need more than that school is able to provide, then we look at those other schools that we've established to provide more intensive services.
All right. And we have another email here. One thing I notice is that our Catholic schools have higher tuition costs. You alluded to that earlier, more than the schools at other large archdioceses. What would you do or can you do to address this?
Well, that certainly is, we're looking at all the aspects that we can to try to keep tuition increases as small as we can. But on the other hand is really that providing more scholarship dollars. And I think, too, as we, some of our schools that have had some declines over, that certainly puts some more pressure on tuition rates as you have fewer students and fewer students to share that cost. our schools that are starting to see some stabilizing and some and actually starting to see some increases in enrollment, that helps, I think, decrease that pressure as well to be able to keep tuition as low as possible.
What is the classroom size typically in one of your schools?
You know, it can vary all over the board, really. So it can be anywhere from, you know, as low as 10 to maybe 25, but really depends on the school and the local demographics.
I'm not sure that I understood entirely what something you said a little earlier with regard to the religious flavor, if you will, mm-hmm. of the education. Are classes actually taught religious classes part of the curriculum?
Yes. Students have a regular time each week or each day that they're set aside where they learn more about the faith. So they'll be learning, you know, they'll be learning about Old Testament or New Testament and some of the different teachings of the church as well.
Same teacher, same classroom teacher is going to be involved in all of that.
Most of the time, it will be a homeroom teacher. Some schools, depending on their size, have a specific teacher that really concentrates in the religion. But a lot of our schools, it's their regular homeroom teacher. So again, it's one more subject that's integrated in with everything else they're learning.
As you look ahead, again, you're relatively new, only been here since July. What have you identified as the greatest challenges facing the system now as you kind of get your feet wet?
Yeah, and that's one that's been kind of my big focus this first semester is to find out what those challenges are, but to find out about them as intimate a level as I can. So I've actually been by the end of this week, I will have been to 50 of our schools in the Archdiocese, and so it gave me a chance to talk with principals, talk with teachers, talk with pastors, and find out what are the key needs. And so I'm right now kind of going through the process of identifying what are archdiocesan wide priorities, what are maybe things that a certain region is struggling with that we need some extra help, and what maybe are individual school issues. So we've mentioned a couple of them that are the general things. Enrollment and finances tend to be kind of the top of the list in that.
Well, what are some of the others that would be in the middle of the list that would be of interest to our audience?
Well, one of the other things, we have a lot of schools that are also using STEM activities and things. And so continue to provide support for them as they continue to develop their STEM programs. So that's an area we want to continue to encourage and continue to support those types of initiatives. Another one is also, preschools is another area of the Archdiocese that we want to continue to provide as much support as we can to schools and parishes.
Preschool has really been determined most recently as terrifically important in the overall education scheme of things. What sort of preschool operation do you have?
We have a variety. We have some preschools that are run in the school, by the school. We have some that are still run by the parish. We really have a wide variety of those programs. That's another area we want to continue to provide support to local leaders and some guidance, too, about making sure that every school that has a preschool has the best early childhood program that they can.
Who do you turn to for advice when you are trying to familiarize yourself with the system?
Well, there's a couple of things. I'm fortunate, having been working on my doctorate at Catholic University of America, to be part of a national cohort of people who are now superintendents in other archdioceses. Mm-hmm. So I've got certainly a network that I can find out what's working in other archdioceses. And then I have a tremendous staff at the Catholic Education Center that works with me and with all the principals. And so I rely on them a lot as well.
All right. Well, congratulations to the system and to you for heading it, for the remarkable numbers that we alluded to at the top of the program. It's really very, very impressive. Good luck to you and your tenure here as superintendent of the Archdiocesan School System.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Kurt Nelson. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Urban League CEO Michael McMillan. Then we'll take a look at St. Louis Public Radio's newly launched initiative, The Listening Project. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.